welcome everyone here this evening in Jesus' name. We have had a lot of feedbacks and response regarding the subject of faith, and I believe that God will help us to perfect what He has started in our lives in Jesus' name. I am looking at nurturing faith. 10 channels. That is, we are looking at channels for the nurturing of our faith. Nurturing faith. 10 channels. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 3. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, 3. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. I think let me just get that scripture. While we look for that, we can look at Romans 10 and in verse 8. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all aboundeth toward each other, aboundeth. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Our objective tonight is to understand the channels for the nurturing of faith. Three things to note by way of introduction. Number one, faith is a living force. If it can grow, it means it is alive. Faith is a living force that grows. That's right. It's a living force that grows. Number two, whatever grows must be nurtured to grow. Anything that has the capacity to grow must be nurtured to growth. If faith grows as a living force, it must be nurtured to grow. Your faith groweth exceedingly. That leads us to the third point that says, there are factors that can build or ruin faith. There are factors that can build growth factors or that can ruin faith. What we are here to do tonight is to look at those factors that can build faith, that can grow faith. So what are these factors? What are the channels for the growth of faith? Number one, the revelation of the word. The revelation of the word of God. Now, some of these points are going to be points you have heard before. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8, where we just saw, what saith it? The word is near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And it is
the word of faith. So the word of God is the word of faith. Romans 10:17. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, revelation is the food of faith. Revelation, which we call Rhema, is the food of faith, is the fuel of faith. When you run out of revelation, you begin to run out of faith. When you run out of Rhema, your faith begins to get at risk. To nurture your faith, you must be on a steady diet of the word. Steady diet. So channel number one, the revelation of the word. Number two, the testimonies of his acts. The testimonies of the acts of God. What we hear that God does and what he's doing in the lives of others. In Psalm 93 and in verse 5, the Bible said, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Thy testimonies are very sure. Testimonies bring assurance. That is, if God did it here, he can do it here. Testimonies bring assurance, the assurance of faith. Thy testimonies are very sure. Psalm 119 and in verse 24, the Bible said, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Second thing to note here is that testimonies bring joy and counsel. Your joy is increased, and you know joy is a department of faith. We believe and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Once we believe, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Testimonies bring joy. They bring counsel. What counsel? This is the step this person took to get his result. If you can take similar steps, you can get similar results. They bring counsel that can facilitate answer to prayer. Testimonies of the acts of God. And then Psalm 1, all right, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation 19 and verse 10, it said, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimonies equals prophecy. One man's testimony is another man's prophecy. So many times when you thought you are hearing a testimony, you are actually hearing a prophecy. A prophecy of what God wants to do in your life or what he's about to do in your life, and that inflames your faith. You know how the faith of Mary exploded. Luke chapter 1 verse 34. When the angel said to her that she was going to give birth to a child, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be seen? I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Keep going. This is the testimony. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The testimonies caused her to believe. Now look at verse 45. Look at what Elizabeth said to her. And blessed is she that believed, Mary, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Testimonies. What God did for one
is clear as to what he wants to do for another. And once you can hear that, it inflames your faith. And I've spoken for a long time now about testimony book and testimony CDs. I'm sure that they are on the way coming. And also some, yes, where you have categorized testimonies. Testimonies of mysterious deliverance from the hands of killers. Testimonies of supernatural intervention for fruit of the womb. Testimonies of divine intervention for marital stagnation. Testimonies of unusual financial breakthroughs. Categorized and categorized. So when you are looking for your faith to be charged up in the financial area, then you move to the one where somebody sowed the seed of 50,000 and enters into the realm of billions. When you are looking for freedom from fear in case of captivity, then you look at the testimonies of those who got free from the camp of captors, and so on and so forth. It charges your faith. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout aloud, must say amen. And so the revelation of the word of God is number one channel for the growth of our faith, and then number two is the testimonies of his acts. Number three is the right utterance. The right utterance. Your own utterance can either empower your faith or disempower your faith. Your own utterance, what you speak. Matthew chapter 12 verse 37. He said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So your words can liberate you, or your words can limit you. Your words can liberate you. Your words can limit you. Your words can impart you with enthusiasm. And your words can fuel you with pessimism. If you like, say something like, "Everything is working on every side in my life. Nothing can go down. The devil that can make things go down in my life has not been born." Just say it for a while and see what it does to your energy, what it does to your audacity, what it does to your guts, what it does to your boldness, what it does to your audacity. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you like, just say, "I just feel very bad. I feel very, very, very bad. How can a country be running like this? It's so bad. Everything is so bad." Just say that for a little while and just tell me what it does to your energy. You will feel defeated. You will feel demotivated. You will feel dispirited. You will feel lack of inertia, lack of initiative. You don't like to do anything because, you see, words carry energy. And the energy is either positive or negative. He said, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." John chapter 6 and in verse 63. Somebody say aloud, amen. And so, what you speak does not only determine what happens around you, it determines your faith first. You know that we say that confession brings possession. "As he has spoken in my ear, so will I do it." And so God is watching for what you say to do it. But beyond that, the words of your mouth is affecting your own life first. That is your own system. Somebody say aloud, amen. If you hang around me, my wife knows, my children knows, everybody, you will never catch the wrong utterance. You will never catch it. Because I know I am speaking to my own life. Can I say something to you? And don't forget it for life. Your tongue is a pen. Every time you are talking, you are writing. Psalm 45 verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is the pen. Can I go further? Your tongue is a pen. Your heart is a slate. It's a tablet. It's a paper. And so the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, chapter 3 verse 3, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 3, he said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. The tablet of your heart. The slate of your heart. Proverbs chapter 7 verse 1 all the way to verse 3. Proverbs chapter 7, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. God expects us to write on our heart. And you don't use pen and ink to write on your heart. You use your tongue to write on your heart. The tongue is the pen. The heart is the slate, is the tablet. Your words, that is the ink. This is the point. It is either you are writing unbelief on your heart or writing faith by your speech. It's either you are documenting and storing in your hard computer, in your hardware. Either you are storing faith or you are storing fear. And out of your heart are the issues of life. So whichever way your life turns is depending on what you are writing on it. There are people, if you open their heart, is full of unbelief, is full of fear, is full of doubt, is full of negativism by virtue of what they have been writing. You know that when you speak, the first person to hear you is yourself. Because you heard what you said before you said it. And if all of life is programmed to respond to your speech, please, if you want your faith to grow, ensure that you are writing the right things on the table of your heart. Write the word. Write positivism. Write optimism. Write enthusiasm. Write revolution. That was number three. The right utterance. Number four is the right environment. You want to build your faith, you build it with your right environment. There are places you cannot plant rice. There are places you may not be able to plant groundnut. There are environments for everything that must grow. The right environment refers to the right company that comes with the right mindset and the right utterance. You know, your company makes your environment. Who you listen to, who you have surrounded yourself with their mindset, with their utterance, they can influence your faith. And they can influence it whether the either building it or ruining it, they can influence your faith. In Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20, the Bible said, concerning the association, say, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 15 and in verse 33. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications, evil company, evil association, it corrupts good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manner. The right environment, the right company, it can charge your faith or chain your faith. Did you hear what I said? Your environment can charge your faith or chain your faith. It can liberate your faith or limit your faith. Your environment, who you call friends. In Numbers chapter 13 and in verse 32, there were 10 spies that came who brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. That's an exaggeration. If the land ate up inhabitants, you went and came back and you did, the land didn't eat you. And all the people we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Why? The wrong environment chained their faith. It chained their faith. It limited their destiny. But see how Peter's faith was literally exploded overnight. In Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 24, Jesus was walking on the water. Sheep was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, lo, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can I tell you something? In the life of Peter, just now, we saw two climates. The first climate was a climate that made him to sit comfortable in the boat. Don't step out. Water will carry you. The second company was a company of one person that came and pushed him to walk on the water. There are boat sitting companies and water walking companies. You can have two companies in your life. Those that encourage you to sit in the comfort zone and avoid any trace of risk. And those who compel you to step out on the water because they believe the water can hold you. What is your current company? Who is your closest friend? Whose voice do you listen to the most? If we had listened to the voices of certain people, we wouldn't be where we are now. When I stepped into the ministry at the first time, I went to meet a man of God to tell him the vision and how God was helping us and where we're starting. Another pastor was there. He was a pastor in Abuja City at that time. When he saw me telling the man of God that God sent us to the city, he had been in the city before we came. He began to tell me, oh, the city is already saturated. There are plenty churches. He mentioned many churches. He mentioned this one has branches. This is another. He was just talking, I was looking at him. And the other man of God told him, are you the one who sent him? Is he talking to you? Leave him alone. If he said God sent him, what is your concern? He was trying to choke the vision. He was trying to discourage the vision. If I listen to that man, nobody will be here tonight. Kaduna Crusade may not have happened. But I knew who called me. Do you know what happened? When the church started and almost started running, the same man returned back to me. That same man. He said, please, can you tell me the secret of ministry? Before I could start talking, he started rattling. I know you have to do this. I know you have to do that. I told him, I said, you already know everything. There is nothing that I can tell you anymore. Don't ever forget. Your company can affect your faith. Even if people don't talk to you the way they think, you can catch it. The way you catch cold. The mindset of people can catch you. Because they behave based on how they think. So you hang around them for a while. You catch. That's why if you go to the village, almost everybody behaves the same. They behave alike, talk alike, the same kind of proverb, the same kind of... No, they just behave alike. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your company. If you are interested in your faith, you must watch your company. When people start talking negative, start talking doubt, they start talking fear, give them gap. You don't hate them, you only want to save your head. And don't love anybody enough to sink with them. Don't be sentimental about your faith, about your destiny, and about your future. Don't love anybody enough to sink with them. Don't sympathize with anybody enough to accept their negativism. Because it is very, very infectious. Somebody say loud amen. If I stop here, I've already preached enough. But take your seat and let's go further. Acts chapter 4. Alright, I'll come to that shortly. See how Peter and John sharpened each other. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. They just sharpened each other until they jerked up a cripple. At the hour of prayer. So the right environment, which is happening to be talking about the right company. Number 5 is the right instruction and impartation. We have 10 points and you must permit me to finish all tonight. The right instruction and impartation. Anyone who speaks into your life speaks into your faith. For faith cometh by hearing. Don't forget what I just said. Anyone who speaks into your life speaks into your faith. For faith cometh by hearing. One word Peter heard, come. In Matthew chapter 14, where we just saw, verse 28. Master, if you are the one. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And the master said, come. And that one word catapulted him to the top. To walk on the water. We saw the boldness of Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They marveled. Because they had been with Jesus, these guys rose with an unusual level of audacity. Let me say this and don't forget it. And that is that faith is a spirit. We having the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. Faith is a spirit. And if it is a spirit, it is transmissible by words. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2, he said, and the spirit entered into me when he spake. So the voice of your teacher, your instructor, is doing a lot to affect your faith. Beware who you give your ear to. Beware who you call your teacher. Some people have 1,000 influences over their lives. They come to a place like this and they hear one thing. They roam about somewhere else and they hear the opposite. Plus one minus one, zero. And they are just confused and stranded. A
Excessive instruction from diverse quarters is signature for a lifetime of confusion. Confusion. Diverse quarters. Everyone online, everybody. So I just said this, and they are sending it everywhere. Opposite. Until you hear, don't believe all the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is the Bible. Just keep here all manner of things. All manner. All manner of diverse speech. What are you looking for? People are looking for things that are not missing. Somebody say loud amen. One day I went into a meeting where the person preaching doesn't believe in giving and does not believe in supernatural supply. He attacked the giving, attacked. I said, what am I doing here? That was how I arranged my wife to follow me. I believe in giving. I believe in supernatural. I over-believe itself. I saw it before I became a pastor. I tithed on 30 naira pocket money in the high institution. The result worked like water. I wasn't planning to be a preacher, but I was a giver before I was a preacher. And I saw its results drastic. And the person with the evidence is not at the mercy of the person with the argument. I have too much evidence to bow for argument. Some of those who argue the things that are real from the Bible, they haven't seen the evidence that those who have seen it have seen. They haven't seen one tenth of the evidence. Beware who you give your ear to. And beware the influences you surrender yourself to. You know, I'm a very, very hungry person. And I trust God. Even if my baby has what I'm looking for, I will surrender myself for impartation. That's how my life has been. My children have once laid hands on me. I'm going for a meeting. All of you, you place your hand. Make your declaration. Daddy, Lord, bless Daddy. Help him this way. Another one. I knelt down. So I came across one guy, elderly person, who is meant to be prophetic. Because for donkey years, I thought I could find an authentic prophetic mentor. I saw Rehab Bonnke in the evangelism realm. I saw my father, Papa Yedepo, in apostolic and other realms. But that realm, abundantly populated with false operations. That is the most abused and the most infiltrated of the gifts. Where they charge people for money to all manner. So I thought, I saw him at least. Then suddenly, every utterance that came out of his mouth will be negative. So I see that some people are looking for you. I see everything on a day, it must be negative. One day, we were talking and he said, so I said, no, cancelled. He said it again, no, cancelled. That is somebody old enough to be a biological father. But you don't keep quiet when your destiny is decided. That was how I went into the Holy Ghost. Jesus, nobody was a greater prophet like than you.
Holy Spirit, be my teacher. And he taught and taught and taught. And it was too clear. What it was too clear. Somebody say aloud, amen. So the right influence is very, very important. The right influence. I prophesy to you today, fresh grace for the right instruction is released upon you in the name of Jesus. The right influence, the right impartation. Now I say faith is a spirit, and that spirit comes in transfer from the spoken word. Now if you look at the life of Timothy, there was a transfer. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, the Bible said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also, faith that God transferred from grandmother Eunice to mother Lois, and to that is from generation to generation. The person who instructs you, who imparts you, affect your faith. I am connected to a generation of faith giants. Bishop David Oyedepo, Lion Bishop Benson Idahosa, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth E. Hagen. If you trace it, you go to E.W. Kenyon, you go to Smith Wigglesworth. It's that line. It's that line. Kenneth Hagin said he ate up everything Smith Wigglesworth wrote until something jumped into him. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Papa Adeboye is on that line. He traveled all the time for Copeland's, Kenneth Hagin's meeting all the time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So beware. There are people whose line you can't trace. Where are you coming from? Where are you? What's your line? You just happen. Nobody, they just happen. No. They're born, then they born picking. Praise the Lord. That is number five, the right instruction. And the right impartation. Number six is the knowledge of God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. If you want to grow your faith, nurture your faith, build your faith, the knowledge of God must be intact. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believe that He is. Believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believe that He is the knowledge of God. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. No wonder Paul the apostle said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering be made conformable unto His death. The knowledge of God nurtures faith. And so it is good to say, increase in the knowledge of God equals increase in the strength of faith. To increase in the knowledge of God is to increase in your strength of faith. So that kind of prayer that says, Lord, I want to know You, I want to know You, is also a prayer that facilitates your faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Nobody has known God enough. Keep on increasing in your knowledge of God. Increase in the 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 knowledge of God. Increase. in the knowledge of God. Increase in the knowledge of God. Master Kokobalaya. Increase in the knowledge of God. Increase in the knowledge of God will build your faith. Number 7 is the vision and picture of the future. You want your faith to grow or to be nurtured. Possess visions and pictures of the future, especially scriptural pictures. Turn scriptures into pictures. I will stand up on my watch. I will watch to see what he will say. To see what he will say. What God will say, try and see it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Can I say something to you? It is possible to doubt what you heard. But it is difficult to doubt what you saw. If you are only hearing scripture, you could doubt. But if it has become picture, God said it, you saw it clear in your mind's eye, how it is possible, it's hard to doubt. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. That was how God, Abraham, was called the father of faith, because he was essentially the father of pictures. God actually helped his faith by giving him plenty pictures. What we saw in Kaduna this weekend, I am not surprised. I saw the picture scenes. I see that all the time. There was a time I asked for Rehad Bonnke Crusade Director to give me all the massive crusade pictures that they have. They gave me all of them. It was everywhere in my office. Do you remember that time? And house. Anywhere you turn. Crowd picture. Saw until it became internal. Then from inside, it flows out. We heard that the last time a crowd like this happened was also Rehab Bonnke Crusade in 1991 in Kaduna. That's the last time. What you eat, won't it eat you up? That was how God helped Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 14, God said to Abraham, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lord was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. So Abraham saw all of the present land of Israel by his mind's eye, and it became easy for God to put it in his hand. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 5, God brought Abraham outside, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Come and see your seed. When you don't even have a child, he says, see the stars. They are your offspring. So he used picture to affect his heart. That was what the Bible said. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 51. He said, my eyes affect my heart. My eyes affected my heart. Whether it is the physical eyes or the mind's eye, it affects the state of the heart. Aya. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27 concerning Moses, the Bible said he endured by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And what caused him to endure? By seeing him who is invisible. Moses was seeing what others were not seeing. So he couldn't fear what they were fearing. Somebody say amen. Turn the scriptures into pictures, and if it is possible, use physical pictures around yourself. There was a time I put check. I signed the check. I hope I'm not telling you too much tonight. I signed the check. This kind of check, I will sign it one day and give to God. I will sign it one day. Check, plenty zeros, both in our currency and foreign currency. Signed, pasted. I pass, I look at it. That is, that check leaf was condemned and used for vision. All those things written there, they have passed since. There was a time I put church attendance, and the highest attendance I put at that time was 20,000. That was in Area 1 days. When we were living in Area 1, we had already counted over 50,000 people on Sunday morning in 6 services, overflow outside. So one day, I looked at that 20,000 on this up, and I looked at it everywhere, and I said, no, this is not a limitation. We have already passed this number. You can. I told you of Dottie Austin's wife, who was diagnosed of metastatic adenocarcinoma in 1983, and she was given 6 weeks to live, and she's still alive till today. She put pictures, wedding pictures, and her nice, healthy pictures on the wall. She's 91 years this year. That's her son, Joel. Joel is 61 this year. Yes. He has baby face. Yes, he himself is 61. Now, the mama is 91. Now, listen to that. And he's not the first. He has a doctor, a surgeon, who is one of the first son. Now, listen to this. And she put her knife. This is me. That cancer picture is not me. The 6 weeks has not come. 1981, is it not 43 years now? That 6 weeks has not come. Your picture can help your venture. And facilitate your capture. So you can feature in your future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. A bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Look at someone by your side. Do you have any pictures around you? Any scriptural pictures? Any mental pictures, any physical pictures that is facilitating your faith. Take your seat. Let me begin to round off now. Point number 8. Flowing in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, like we said earlier on, is the Spirit of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. We also having the same Spirit of faith. We have believed, and therefore we have spoken. Flowing in the Spirit will help your faith, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of faith. What happens? First, the Spirit of God connects you with the mantle of boldness. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. It said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
God has given us the spirit of a sound mind.
The spirit of a sound mind. Boldness.
Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Jude is only one chapter, and then verse 20. He said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Builds up your faith.
Did you hear what I just said?
Shala kokoba liketekeke babaratatash.
You don't expect me to pray like that and then come out and be shaking like jellyfish. That is contraindicated. Do you understand?
Praying in the Holy Ghost, there is an impartation of boldness, of audacity, and the two combined, audacity.
Do you understand what I'm saying now? Another thing the Holy Spirit does for you is to assist you to harvest scriptures that fire your faith. He will assist you to locate scriptures that inflame your faith. He will assist you to network. He's a spiritual network engineer.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. He said, Mahu Shakalaya, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea,
the deep things of God. Many times when you are saying, Lord, why is this or why is that not so? Many times you are trusting to hear a voice. Just ask him to give you a scripture. Lord, show me something from your word concerning this matter. Now, if he gives you one scripture, it will settle you like settlement. You will assume that verse was written with you in mind.
Many times the verse that will come to mind does not look like something that means anything, but just read the whole of the chapter that carries that verse. Somebody say amen. Flowing in the Spirit.
Now we have two more to go, but before we go, let us review the ones we have looked at first. Channels for the growth of faith. Number one, read out with me. One to go. The revelation of the word. Number two, the testimonies of the acts of God. Number three, the right utterance. Number four, the right environment. That's the right company. Number five, the right instruction and impartation. Number six, the knowledge of God. Number seven, the vision and picture of the future. Number eight, flowing in the Spirit. And number nine, the maintenance of a good conscience. The maintenance of a good conscience. The maintenance of a good conscience.
Many people of faith don't know that faith goes hand in hand with a good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, they made a shipwreck. They say, I'm walking in faith, but their conscience is not clear, whether towards God or towards man. And it's just a shipwreck. Now look at the second testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Where the conscience is not good, faith is never strong. Guilt is the destroyer of faith. Where the conscience is not good, faith can't be strong.
There are many who have done a lot of things to be men and women of faith, but conscience is not good. Stole money here, lied here, cheated here, wrote a false report here.
not good. So faith couldn't work. That was what Proverbs 28 verse 1 said. The wicked flee when no man pursued, but if the man must be bold as a lion, he must be the righteous that is bold as a lion. Uprightness is the platform for boldness in the spirit. Somebody say a loud amen.
Some people say, I am a word of faith. I belong to word of faith. And I can say, I belong to holiness group. That is ignorance. I don't want to say ignoramus. Because carry holiness and reject faith, and the devil will mess you up until you become a mockery. Until unbelievers begin to pity you. Because ordinary cockroach will be pressing you in the night. And carry faith. And say, it doesn't matter. I can dress anywhere I want. I can go anywhere I want. It is the heart that matters, not the body. And then you become self-deluded. You will be crying like the prophets of Baal. No result. So there is no word of faith. There is no word of faith separate from holiness group. Separate. It's a merger. It is the wholeness of it that makes you irresistible in time and in eternity. Irresistible, indomitable, unfightable. When they send the devil to your address, he will ask for another assignment. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody shout amen at the top of your voice. One more and then we are through. The maintenance of a good conscience. And this second one is like this, that like number 9. It is walking in love. Bitter, envious, jealous, cantankerous can never amount to anything in the journey of faith. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. He said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The working of faith is on the platform of love. Faith which worketh by love. Love for God, love for man. Meaning that faith is impotent without love. Impotent without love. Impotent without love. Ephesians chapter 1 and then verse 5. See what the Bible said? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Can I see Colossians 1 and verse 5? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Alright, give me 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Our text. He said now, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Because that your faith is growing exceedingly. Why? The charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. Your faith is growing exceedingly because your love for yourself is abundant. You are not struggling to operate faith because you are not struggling to love people. That is organic faith. It's not synthetic. It is natural. It's growing naturally. Because you love people, you know how to love person.
Hallelujah. All these people here, what they suffer from most of the time is hyperlovemia. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have seen some of our interaction before, nearby. Yesterday, he brought somebody to me for prayer at the night. And I prayed like I would. A girl who came with her mother from South Africa. I prayed like I would pray my heart out. After midnight prayer, he sent me a text message. He said, thank you for your heart and your love for humanity. I wanted to use a word when I was sending you the message. But I removed that word because of the faith principle. But I'll tell you what I want. I say one of the things that render me the most miserable is people's problem. That is extremely disturbed. My wife, after the midnight prayer, she saw me on the table and followed me to the room. I said, what's wrong? You don't look happy. What's happening? I said, somebody just sent me a text. Between when I left here and I went, his daughter was kidnapped. His niece was kidnapped. They asked him to bring ransom. He sent somebody with ransom. The person he sent with ransom disappeared. You haven't heard the worst yet. He couldn't reach the person. And the kidnappers couldn't reach the person. So they shot his niece dead. What is this? I think it's good for me to share some of this with you so that all of us can carry the burden together. Let's all carry the burden together. He shot his niece, his cousin dead, leaving his daughter. He ran, look for money to rescue his daughter, sent his brother. His brother reached there, they released his daughter and held the brother. This was a man who was in foreign service, served this country as outside Nigeria. In various capacities, in foreign mission. He comes home and this is what he experiences. So I told her, I said, I just received a text message and this is what it is. We knelt down that night after midnight prayer. Lord, we need solution. So when you sent me a text message, I said, Pastor, didn't reply me. I'd like you to understand we are carrying almost the whole world on the shoulder. Every single reply you ever get to a text message is a privilege. Any single one. The kind of story I'm telling you now comes daily, many times daily. They won't send it to senator or governor or anybody. Because they know there's no solution there. It comes daily, comes many times daily. So when you see us cheerful and making people laugh, it's on top of this kind of news on a continuous basis. Hallelujah. So some of the results we see. That girl last week, I prayed my heart out. I wanted to see her walk on the spot last week, Tuesday. But she couldn't move. And I said, go with her. And in the name of Jesus, come with her midweek service on her feet. The next day. That was how she came on the next day. Yesterday, when that girl that couldn't talk from maybe Uzaria, that was paralyzed and all of that, and I said, say after me. And he said, after that, he kept mute again. The anger that generated bastard devil. If you couldn't stop her from speaking at first, it's too late for you now. Young lady, what is her offense? What is the offense of these parents that want to render her useless? Out! Now! Do you know what the lady did in my front? She said, That is, I feel the freedom now. See after me, and she began to speak. Faith, what? You don't have the time to be putting bitterness in your heart. It will kill your faith. Am I communicating? Or a robber said, when he prayed for people's children, he considers them his own child. If this child was my child that was in this kind of condition, how will I pray? Then he will pray with all the fire he possesses. And the answer comes. Love is the nature of God. If you want to walk with God, you must walk in love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. And two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. So, and faith is a walk with God. If you want to walk with God, you must walk in His frequency. Free of strife. Free of bitterness. Free of jealousy. Free of malice. Free of envy. You must walk in love. Free of jealousy. Free of bitterness. Free of envy. Free of malice. Mashallah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. But I see somebody here today. You are exploding in your faith. If you are that one, shout the loudest, say amen. Please carry this message. Listen to it over and over again. Work it out. If there is any area where you think you need God to help you to produce result, go. I perceive there are people here today. Man, who jilted you, said he will marry you. They didn't marry you, disappointed you or something, and you are still holding. Please let them go so that God can release you to your marital destiny. There are many things we hold from our past that prevents us from reaching our future. Pastor, come. Pastor, you come. You stand in the front here. You stand here. I didn't tell you to go there. You stand here. Bring your iPad. Stretch it towards me. Stretch yours towards me. This is my future. And this happened to be my past. And I am happening. There's something I want to do. I happen to. God wants me to take hold. Lay hold on this. But my hands are here. I am meant to be going into tomorrow, but I am still in yesterday. I am holding on to a grudge. I am holding on to a malice. What is meant to be mine is there, but here am I. Until I let go of this, I can't lay hold of this. I cannot hold on to the past and lay hold on the future at the same time. I must choose one. Choose to let go of the past and lay hold on the future, or choose to lay hold on the future and let go of the past. And it's a matter of choice. And the truth is, there can be no future in the past. Stand on your feet. Both of you come. Lift your hands. There is a mystery God has accomplished in these people's lives. It's a new season. Somebody lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands and let's worship him right now. Anybody know that album? Just let go the past. Lift up your two hands. Just lift your hands and appreciate God for the word to you tonight. One more time, I'm excited that we are connected globally. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, thank you. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I appreciate you, Lord.
I appreciate you, Lord.
I honor you, Lord.
I honor you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Today,
today,
I come before you.
I come before you.
To appreciate you
for your word
to me. In the name of Jesus.
Father,
I ask that you grant me
the
grace
to grow
my faith.
I receive
that grace
now.
In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray.
Open your mouth and pray.
In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands now and say, let me say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today.
In the name of Jesus,
I ask
for fresh grace
for the revelation
of your word.
In the name of Jesus. Father,
help me
to value
the
testimonies
of your
heart. In the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord,
with the right utterance
to speak correctly,
accurately,
at all times.
In the name of Jesus.
On the media,
I think by now you should have known what I'm doing.
I'm following
the points and I'm now on
point number 4.
So you place
it on the screen
and the people can
see.
Alright,
start again.
Say, Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I ask
for your help
with the
revelation
of the word.
In the name of
Jesus,
I ask
that you
help me
to receive
the
testimony
that will change
my life.
In the name of
Jesus,
I ask
for grace
for the right
utterance.
In the name of
Jesus,
I ask
to
be selected.
The
grace
to be selected
about
my environment.
To
be planted
in
the right environment.
Oh Lord,
in the
name of Jesus,
I ask
for the
grace
for the right
instruction
and right
impartation.
In the
name of
Jesus,
I ask
that you
help me
to know
you
more,
than
ever.
In the
name of Jesus,
I ask
for the
grace
to walk
in the vision
and
the picture
of
the future.
In the
name of
Jesus,
I ask
for the
grace
to flow
in the
spirit.
In the
name of Jesus,
I ask
for the
maintenance
of a
good conscience.
Oh Lord,
in the
name of Jesus,
grace
to
walk
in law.
I receive
it
now.
Open your mouth and pray.
Come on,
Finally tonight, lift your hands and make demands on the fresh baptism of the spirit of faith. The fresh baptism of the spirit of faith. The fresh baptism of the spirit of faith. Lift your hands, lift your voice after me and say, Father,
Father,
I apply
for
a fresh baptism
of the spirit
of faith.
Release
upon me
the
fresh baptism
of the spirit
of faith
today
in the name of Jesus.
Lift your voice
and speak to God.
The fresh baptism.
In the name of Jesus, leave the hands high up and make and get set to receive an impartation and a baptism. And as this baptism comes upon you, it is doing a deadly blow to the spirit of depression.
Amen.
The spirit of depression.
Amen.
The spirit of depression.
Amen.
The spirit of despair.
Amen.
The spirit of discouragement.
Amen.
The spirit of fear.
Amen.
For someone here today, what is not possible shall be made possible.
Amen.
Some people came to pay visit on us yesterday. They are top management of a particular bank that we bank with as church. So we just came to greet you, to appreciate you. One of them, who is like the regional manager, he said, one thing I want to confirm about this ministry, that everybody I know who is connected to this ministry, whatever they do, succeeds. Today we went into town because we have mentioned that we are doing harvest centers, locations within FCT, Metama area, Asokori, and places that people can actually have service within the week. And for all of us, so that's for those who are unable to come here to the center for midweek, right? And other things, but on Sunday we all meet here, like some of our region. So we went, and one of the places they took us to see is owned by a member of the church, like story building on almost a day to
cook.
Three floors at the Tokumbo Road. And I said to him, so you remember them? He said, yes. For how long? He said, yeah, it's about 20 years. I have never met him once. He hasn't come for pray for me or this or that once. But our accountant knew him. He said he knew him since when he was doing youth service. I came to the church. Fully established. We came to look for a property to have a Dunamis International Gospel Center, harvest center, really, and is owned by a member. And Dr. Misenetje told me, he said, it is very real that the mantle speaks. The number of people that the mantle of this commission has raised that we are not aware,
are in excess. I am saying that to you because you are beside a river. You are by a waterside. No devil can cause you to be dry. No devil can give you a story that is opposite the story of our experience. A woman called me from Kenya the other day. She was here in May last year for the conference, and that was her first time. She came with others. My husband has carried my two children, divorced me, and left me. Husband, influential person, rich, wealthy person in that country, and so on and so forth, and everything is upside down. She sends me a message saying, since I came and one word of prayer you uttered, everything has changed. My children, they took to the UK, they have brought them back. They are both celebrating me and the children together. Other doors have opened up from the Middle East, where she is to become a representative of a people in that country. Wow. One visit, everything changed. I want to let you know, whatever be the name of the devil that is after your case, tonight is the end of that devil. Whatever force from hell is saying that you should not be a reflection of the mantle of this commission, that force from hell is set on fire. Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
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 I make demands on my portion, from this unction, of this commission, and I shall manifest.
I proceed
in the manifestation of my desires and expectations. Now, open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God is coming upon you right now, and that hand will release upon you the spirit of faith and break every satanic limitation on your life. And that same hand is releasing to you your portion in this house. Lift up your hands everywhere.
name is holy. Holy. Holy Lord. And your name is holy, Lord. Oh, your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. Holy.
Would you lift up your hands now and receive a baptism of the spirit of faith and also your portion in God in this house? Healings, miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive at the top of your voice and begin to blast in tongues like never before. Are you ready, Father? Let it fall. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Receive. Receive! Receive! Oh, your name is holy. Oh, your name is holy. Oh, receive! Oh, shaya, ya, 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 ya. Your name is holy, Lord. Receive the fire of His power. Your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. And your name is holy, Lord. Your name is holy. Your name is holy. Your name is holy. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor.
Amen.
Father, we give you the adoration.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. It's a new day for you. I see diverse drastic encounters overnight.
Amen.
Change of story.
Amen.
Under the next 72 hours.
Amen.
What you have heard that God did for others in this church, or even from afar, and you are here in person, it will be in your hands as a testimony.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
Everyone here tonight in need of surrender to Jesus, quickly come to the front here. The communion team was also join us forward. The rest of us can take your seats. Quickly come to the front. Make your way straight to Jesus. Let today mark a new day for you. Quickly come to the front. Father, I want to give myself to you. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. Quickly, quickly, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and step forward here.
Then all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Believe me. I surrender all.
Keep coming quickly, come forward. I'll give you the count of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 10, 9, 10.
I surrender, Lord. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
All of you in the front, place your hand on your chest. Pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today
to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Jesus' name. Get out of her now! Jesus' precious name. Return back no more. Enter into nobody. In Jesus' precious name, it is done.